Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. This is the season-long edition, and you are here for a game-by-game breakdown. My name is John Solly. I'm a Pro Football Weekly Fantasy contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle Neighbors, Northwest Herald sports editor and Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football contributor. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, you ready for week one, man?
Absolutely. It's going to be an interesting slate. It always is week one. You never know what's going to happen, but I'm interested to see where this season leads us.
And the other member of this three-man pod, Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, you ready for week one, man?
You know it. I've been waiting. I know we all have. So it's exciting to discuss some real football finally. I know we're all looking forward to it.
All right, so let's get right to it in our game-by-game breakdown. We're going to start with the Jets and Buffalo, and I'm sorry that we have to start with the Jets and Buffalo. But the over-under right now is 40, and Buffalo is favored by 9 at home. Arthur, I think it's LeSean McCoy, and really, is there anybody else that you are taking a hard look at in this one?
No, I don't know about a hard look. You're right about LeSean McCoy, though. Obviously, I've got him at RB9, and I actually ranked him before Tyrod Taylor was cleared to start, so he might get a little boost there. I've got Bilal Powell down at RB18, but this is going to be ground and pound on both sides. I'll throw it back to you because I know you were on Team Tyrod last year, John. Is there any way to salvage his Bills tenure and fantasy outlook this season, do you think?
I think there are better options right now than Tyrod Taylor coming out of the concussion protocol on a Buffalo team that isn't trying to tank but is tanking. I think it's out of this game. It's probably McCoy, and that's about it. Kyle, where are you on this game? I know in DFS I've proclaimed my love for Robbie Anderson, and you weren't a fan of that. Is there anybody on the Jets side that you're interested at all in this game?
Yeah, we kind of talked about it earlier in DFS. Maybe Arthur can give us a little more insight because I'm trying to find it and I can't. Arthur, do you have any idea what the running back breakdown is going to look like for the Jets? Because I really like Bilal Powell if he's given enough touches, because this Buffalo Bills run defense was awful last year.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a great question. I don't have a great answer, unfortunately, because the Jets were so odd in the preseason. And guys, I know we don't want to spend a lot of time on this game, but it is worth mentioning. Remember, it was Josh McCown getting his most extensive action in the final preseason game, and so did Bilal Powell after Matt Forte was kind of the leader of the pack through 3 weeks. So I guess Todd Bowles is just keeping things close to the vest. We had heard all offseason it was going to be Powell's show, but certainly the pendulum seems to be swinging back a little bit toward Forte, I think.
Yeah, there's nothing more tilting in week one to go ahead and plug Powell in and then watch Matt Forte get 20 carries.
And remember what Forte did out of the gate last year before he started to show his age. He was a monster early in the season for the Jets.
Yeah, particularly against the Bills defense. I think he was 150 yards or so.
Yeah, I know there was a 3-touchdown game there early too, and we'll see. I think the Bills defense will definitely be better under Sean McDermott. I think there's going to be more attention to detail, and they'll get that thing squared away quickly. But yeah, it is frustrating to not know who to lean on. It's really the only Jet you're going to look to all season is in the backfield, and we don't know which one to look at.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next game. Atlanta at Chicago. Atlanta is a touchdown favorite on the road. The over-under is at 48.5. Arthur, obviously, if you've got Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman, you're playing those guys. Anybody else that you're looking at in this one?
Yeah, I like Tevin Coleman as well. Danny Trevathan has been ahead of schedule. The Bears inside linebacker all offseason coming off the torn patellar. But if he does play this week, it will be on a pitch count. And Tevin Coleman just is a matchup nightmare, as we saw at least under Kyle Shanahan he was. So I like him a lot. I think you could do worse too, guys, than both Austin Hooper and Taylor Gabriel. We all know well, being here in Chicago, it is a brand new secondary the Bears have, and the best member in that group, arguably, Prince Amakamora, is looking more and more like a long shot to go this week. So I expect Ryan to test him with that really diverse offense. And if you think Austin Hooper's a breakout candidate, why not test him against these new safeties right out of the gate?
Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, I think outside of the big three for Atlanta, I don't have a lot of interest. I think this is going to be a game that they control from the outset. You're going to see a lot of run, I think. I think you can take a dart throw at Austin Hooper if you're really trying to find a tight end to plug in. Had some flashes near the end of last year, but there's not a lot I want to deal with on Atlanta's side of the ball.
What do we think of Jordan Howard in this one? He is the obvious bell cow in this offense, but I think there's a bit of a negative game script here.
Yeah, you know, if you have Jordan Howard, you're going to play him against this defense. It's the Atlanta run defense is nothing great. Plug him in if you have him. I think obviously most people were taking him in the middle of the first round there, or late first round. So obviously he's going to be in your lineup. I'm actually a little interested to see what happens in the receiving game for the Bears. I have Kevin White in the Blog Talk Radio, a 14-team league that I'm working with for representing Pro Football Weekly. And since I had Julian Edelman go down before the season started, now I've lost Jarvis Landry with the game being postponed. I'm thinking I might have to go with Kevin White. Is that crazy?
Arthur, yeah. What do you think? Yeah?
In yeah. short? I'm not saying
I feel good about it, but when you've lost your top two receivers, it's between him and Paul Richardson right now.
Okay. And Tyler Lockett just got a clean bill of health, I think, in Seattle, too, as they had the Green Bay. So, look, we talked about on the podcast last week, it's all about volume. Kevin White is going to get a ton of looks. He was averaging more than 9 targets in his 3-plus games last year before the broken leg, and that was with Alshon Jeffrey and some other weapons. Eddie Royal was still healthy at that point, too. So take them out of the equation, and the Bears are in dire straits here. Kevin White's going to get every opportunity to start meeting his draft status. I just don't think, even if it does happen, it's going to happen right away. He's shown to be kind of one of those gradual builders, if you will.
I think Kendall Wright is maybe just as good an option this week, if not a better one than Kevin White, because I think Desmond Trufant is going to end up matching up with Kevin White a majority of the time. And, you know, the Bears are going to be forced to throw in this one. So I think it's probably – I think Kendall Wright is actually the number one receiver in the Bears' offense. But they have to give Kevin White a shot at it first. Anybody else?
Yeah, no arguments here. Yeah, no, you're right. And Desmond Trufant is the guy who got paid about $40 million guaranteed in the offseason. Atlanta showed how much they liked him, even though he tore the pectoral and obviously was absent for that playoff and Super Bowl run. So, no, good point by you. They're pretty solid, though, inside, too, with Brian Poole. He was really impressive as an undrafted rookie. But I guess given the choice between the two, John, you're absolutely right. You would go with a youngster who's less proven.
All right,
or
let's
in
move
this
on.
Case, you'd go against the youngster who's less proven by playing the veteran Kendall Wright. Excuse me.
All right, guys, let's move on to a game that's not really going to have a lot of fantasy goodness. Jacksonville at Houston, 39.5 is the over-under. Houston favored by 5.5. Houston D is a lock and load for me for this one, maybe even Jacksonville D too, but there's not a whole lot else I'm interested in this one. Kyle, is there anybody that is really drawing interest in this one for you?
No, nothing at all, really. The only thing I'm considering is if you're looking for a defense, if you're one of those people that kind of just stream them out there, I actually really like the Jacksonville D this week. Houston's going to be without their best offensive tackle in Dwayne Brown. I do not believe in Lamar Miller. I definitely don't believe in Tom Savage, and I think the Jacksonville secondary is going to take away anything that Tom Savage even had a chance to look at. I think Jacksonville's defense is a sneaky pick if you're looking to stream someone.
Arthur, what do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I would say play your studs because it's week one, and DeAndre Hopkins still falls under that category. It was so fun to watch him go up against Jalen Ramsey last year. He was actually on the losing end of those battles. But, I mean, I think if you drafted Hopkins as your, you know, probably WR2, you're going to go with him. I think the same thing with Allen Robinson. He's probably many teams WR2, and you're gonna roll him out there against Jonathan Joseph and company and kind of hope for the best. Leonard Fournette as well. He's been a premium pick on him. Yes, he's going up against J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, but do you really have the type of running back depth on your bench that you're going to sit, you know, your second or third round pick? If you do, props to you, but I'm guessing most don't.
That's a fair point. Let's move on to the next game. Philadelphia, Washington, 48 is the over-under. Philadelphia favored by 1 on the road. Arthur, what do you think we could project for Carson Wentz in the first start of his second year against this Washington defense?
Yeah, I mean, if we're, trying to put numbers on it, I think he'll probably be in the vicinity of, somewhere between 200 and 275 passing yards, maybe couple touchdowns. The problem that concerns me still with Carson Wentz is the ball security, and we saw that continue to rear its ugly head a little bit in the preseason, although interestingly Doug Peterson barely played his starters on offense in the preseason at all. So I just got done writing about this this matchup, actually, for a piece that's about to go up on ProFootballWeekly.com. It's fascinating because these have to be the two quarterbacks in the NFL dealing with the most changes to their to their arsenals. When you think about Alshon Jeffery and Torrey Smith, of course, and LeGarrette Blount for Philadelphia, and then Kirk Cousins gets Terrell Pryor and then Josh Doctson back. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts here, but Vegas oddsmakers, I believe, have a point total of 48 on this one. So it seems like they're worried as much about these defensive backfields as they are about sort of the assimilating that these new quarterbacks have to do.
Arthur, looking over your wide receiver rankings on ProFootballWeekly.com, you have Alshon Jeffery at number 15, pretty high. Do you think he's going to perform better than he did last year against Josh Norman?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're positioning him to kind of get force-fed the football, and I think that's a lot like what Jay Cutler used to do, and we used to see some success. So, Norman can be hit or miss. Yes, it's a tough matchup, but, I think he's going to have a solid outing. I think there was more encouraging signs from Carson Wentz and Alshon Jeffery in the preseason than we saw with Kirk Cousins and Terrell Pryor. But it's a good point. Obviously, Josh Norman's going to be the best corner in this game. Whether he's going to follow Alshon around, I'm not so sure. We haven't seen Washington do that in the past. So that will be interesting, that matchup. And then on the other side, you got Terrell Pryor and Ronald Darby. I'll throw it back to you, Kyle. Are you worried about sort of the sluggishness from that Washington offense in the preseason, or are you kind of diving in right away with Terrell Pryor, Kirk Cousins, and those guys?
Yeah, if I have Terrell Pryor, I'm going to play him in this matchup. I really like the way he's developing. I think he's a big-time threat. Now, he comes with some risks this week, but I think the upside is too high to take him out. The guy that I would shy away from if you have a different option at your flex position, which I'm guessing where Jameson Crowder is falling for, mm-hmm, most people, I'm a little worried about him in this matchup.
Yeah, I would be too, especially in this offense that is a little bit new with personnel, even though Crowder's not that new. But I think Pryor is a guy that is going to get fed the ball. On the Philadelphia side, I really like Zach Ertz, who has a history of smashing against Washington.
Yeah, I like Zach.
No doubt, and Washington has questions at safety. Sorry, go ahead, Kyle.
No, I was going to say, obviously, on the tight end side, I like Zach Ertz's matchup a lot better than Jordan Reed. I feel bad for people that took Jordan Reed pretty high here and then have to get a matchup against a really good defense at defending tight ends here in week one.
All right, guys.
No doubt, but they can feel good about Jordan Reed's health, at least entering the season. Now's the time when you're definitely rolling with them, regardless of matchup. As long as he's in one piece, I'm quite sure fantasy owners will be happy to throw him out there.
No doubt about that. Let's move on to the next game. Arizona at Detroit. 48 is the over-under. Arizona favored by 2 on the road. Arthur, we've been hyping up Amir Abdullah for the past couple of years on this podcast. Is this the year that he finally pokes through? And is this a game where you see him getting enough usage to poke through?
Yeah, I think it might be. It's all in front of Abdullah, just in terms of the Lions. They didn't address the position really at all in the offseason, so they've kind of put their trust in Abdullah. Remember, he's not a Bob Quinn guy, and he has stayed healthy, and he has looked sharp and explosive in the preseason. So, I'm excited about Abdullah. I don't love this matchup because I'm pretty worried about the Lions' defense, and I think the Cardinals could make this a track meet. So kind of getting back to your negative game script could be an issue here, and there's always Theo Riddick looming. But yes, I am excited about Abdullah's outlook. I'll tell you that I'm even more excited about the Cardinals. I might be driving this wagon, but I think Arizona is a really strong bounce back candidate. And I love Carson Palmer in this matchup against a Lions defense that just absolutely cannot rush the passer.
Kyle, we talked about old guy Larry Fitzgerald on the DFS podcast. I love him just as much in season long. Are you with us on Abdullah?
If you're looking for someone to fill in that spot, it's not going to be Amir Abdullah for me. I don't like the game script. I don't like the fact that Theo Riddick's going to be there when they do get behind, which I'm pretty sure it's almost a certainty. I hate this Detroit defense.
All right, well, let's move on to what I think is going to be a shootout. Oakland at Tennessee. The over-under right now is 50.5. Tennessee favored by 2.5 at home. This is a game where you lock and load everybody. I feel like this is a game where you just play everybody. If you've got them, if it's, you know, obviously you're playing Murray, but Mariota, Delanie Walker, Crabtree and Cooper, you're obviously playing. I think Derek Carr, you're playing. The only guy that I really have a question about is Marshawn Lynch. I'm staying away from the Oakland rush game, but Kyle, where do you stand on Marshawn?
After a year away, I want to wait and see where they're at. I thought he was way overdrafted here before the season started. I think there's a lot of interesting things to watch in this game outside of that, particularly on Tennessee's side. I really want to know what Corey Davis is going to look like here early in the season. The Tennessee said today that they have a specific set of plays they want to run with him. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I'd be interested to see how much he's on the field. And I want to know how much of a timeshare we're going to see for DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry.
Arthur, what do you think about the potential timeshare between Murray and Henry?
Man, I drafted DeMarco Murray as my first round pick in one draft, and I did that just despite my love for Derrick Henry and my almost just my strong belief that Mike Mularkey is going to find a way to involve the former Heisman more in the offense. So I think in one of my bold predictions last week, I said that DeMarco and Derek are going to be the new Devontae and Tevin this year. It's not uncommon to see two backs from the same backfield finish in the top 20 in PPR leagues, but it is pretty uncommon in standard scoring. We saw Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman do that last year, the first time in like 5 years, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Tennessee with this offensive line, with this exciting quarterback, with the upgrades in the passing game, be the next backfield to do that. Very anxious to see how that plays out. I will just add to what Kyle was saying and kind of what you said too, John. I don't know that I'm starting everyone in this one only because I want to, as Kyle said, I want to wait and see what Corey Davis looks like before I have him in my lineup. And I actually kind of feel the same way about Eric Decker. They both missed a lot of time. That was important rapport building time with Marcus Mariota. And it kind of feels like he's going to lean on the dudes he knows. And that would be Delanie Walker and Rishard Matthews in this one. What do you guys think about that kind of line of thinking?
I'm all in on Decker. I think that he's still going to – I think he's a veteran that can still just get in and play, and especially whenever they get near the red zone, Decker has a real great history in multiple spots with multiple quarterbacks of finding a way to get into the end zone once that offense, you know, gets inside the 20. So I'm not afraid to start Decker if I've got him.
I agree. It's just too tempting against an Oakland defense.
Yeah, it's a fun marriage, guys. You mentioned the red zone success for Decker, and everyone knows, I think, at this point about sort of the adept red zone play for Marcus Mariota and that Titans offense. So let me be clear. I'm excited about Eric Decker season long, but I kind of want to just have a wait and see with both of those guys. And in Oakland, I'm rolling with Marshawn Lynch because if you think there's going to be a lot of scoring, I can almost assure you that it's going to be Lynch down by the goal line. So he may be able to salvage even an inefficient day in between the 20s with a touchdown or two.
All right, let's move on to a game that I don't think we're going to have much to talk about here. Baltimore at Cincinnati, 42.5 is the over-under. Cincinnati favored by 3 at home. Obviously, you're playing A.J. Green. Guys, I'm not really interested in anybody on Baltimore. I think that offense is still too much of a mess right now to figure out. And on the Cincinnati running back side, I try to avoid three-headed monsters. So I think if you're high on Joe Mixon, I think you're going to have to wait a little bit because Gio Bernard is surprisingly healthy. Jeremy Hill is still there. So I'm kind of avoiding the Cincinnati running back situation right now. Arthur, where are you on that one?
Yeah, I mean, as you should. I'm super excited about Joe Mixon, but it's going to take time. Marvin Lewis can't quit Jeremy Hill. I don't know what type of photos or incriminating video Jeremy Hill may have of Marvin Lewis, especially as he enters a make-or-break lame duck year, but he's going to continue to roll out the plotter. I will mention the plotter has been under 2 yards per carry in two of his past three outings against the Ravens. So this is a big opportunity for him as he has this kind of blind faith from Marvin Lewis, but I do think it's going to be a short leash. So this week, you're probably staying away from that backfield, I suppose. Tyler Boyd may be an interesting name as a minimum value on DFS just because he's kind of become the forgotten man with John Ross on board. And if Andy Dalton needs to get rid of the football quickly, as I expect he will, Boyd in the slot against Ladarius Webb may have some opportunities.
Kyle, anything to add on this one?
Yeah, I think if you have Tyler Eifert, you're going to play him. But the guy does, I think you need to temper your expectations, and I think you're asking to lose if you try and play any of these Cincinnati running backs right now.
All right, guys, let's move on to Pittsburgh and Cleveland. 46.5 is the over under. Pittsburgh is favored by 9. Obviously, you're going to play your Pittsburgh studs, but I want to hear from both of you. What do you think Martavis Bryant can do in his first game back against this Cleveland defense? Arthur, I'll start with you.
47 touchdowns, 3,800. Yeah, no, just kidding. I don't know that Martavis Bryant has a ceiling this year. I mean, seriously, the dude is that talented, and seriously, he has had a historic start to his career before last year's suspension, averaging a touchdown once every less than 6 catches. So you could say he's due after not catching one in the preseason and missing all of last year. So, yeah, I think Bryant's got a strong shot to be a WR1 this season. He really is that beastly. And of course, you're rolling with your studs, too. Kyle, what do you think about Brian? Am I overselling him, or is he really that exciting?
No, I'm absolutely on board with you. He should be in 100% of your lineups this week for season long. And we were talking earlier, I think he's a great pick for DFS as well, because you know where the targets are going in that offense. There's not a lot of uncertainty. You're going to get Le'Veon Bell, you're going to get Antonio Brown, and you're going to get a lot of Martavis Bryant. And in this matchup, you absolutely have to have him in there.
On the Cleveland side, Crowell and Britt, and you know that's about it as far as my interest. I don't have much in Corey Coleman. I think I've got to see it to believe it on that. And Kizer making his first start. You know, if you're that desperate for a QB, I think there are probably better options out there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Corey Coleman looks like this year. Obviously, I'm not starting him in week one. But if he's a guy that's available on your waiver wire, I'd keep an eye on him this week, see what happens in that game.
All right, let's move on to the afternoon slate here. Colts at the Los Angeles Rams, 41.5 is the over-under. The Rams are favored by 3.5 at home. No Andrew Luck for the Colts, so I think Rams defense, I think, immediately kind of vaults to the top of the list. I'm interested in your take on two guys, though, on the Rams side. Todd Gurley, who has frustrated fantasy owners for a long time now, and Sammy Watkins in a new spot now against an Indianapolis defense that is going to be without Vontae Davis. So, Kyle, I want to hear your take on Gurley and Watkins.
Well, first off, if Gurley can't break out this matchup, it's just not happening. He's been really, really bad, honestly, since the start of his since that breakout at the start of his rookie year. This everything sets up for him to have a big game. If he can't do it now, it's just not coming. I have a ton of interest in Sammy Watkins, actually, this week. The Indianapolis defense is awful. They're going to be without their top corner. I think that's a really good play. I think he's going to break a long one in this game.
Arthur, where are you on Gurley and Watkins?
Yeah, I'm right where Kyle is. I would even just add to that with Gurley. If you look past this week, we're going to have a really good idea about both of these guys by October. After Indianapolis comes to town, they're going to get Washington and San Francisco. San Francisco 31st in Football Outsiders DVOA run defense. Washington was 24th. So Kyle said it perfectly. If it's ever going to happen for Gurley, it's going to happen right away. The stage is set for him to have a similar kind of gangbusters beginning as he did as a rookie. So curious to see it. And I think it's going to be hard for him not to succeed with this Colts defense being just so bad. And look, the Rams gave up too much for Sammy Watkins not to make him their guy. You know, he could be a rental. So he's got everything to prove. Sean McVay gives this offense a chance. And yeah, I think both guys could be pleasant surprises early here.
All right, guys, I'm just going to press on and move on to the wheels up game of the week, where I think I'm just starting everybody I've got in this one, and that's Seattle at Green Bay. High over under 51 is the over under. Green Bay favored by 3 at home. So it's a, you know, Vegas obviously sees these teams as almost even. Is there anyone you're not interested in this game outside of maybe Eddie? I wasn't drafting Eddie Lacy anyway. But if you have Eddie Lacy on your team for some reason, I'm not playing him. But really, everybody else, I'm interested in playing. Kyle, what are you looking at in this one?
Yeah, I think everyone that you have, if you have someone on your roster, go ahead and fire them up if they're involved in this game. As I was asking you guys, I think the biggest question mark I have is what role is Paul Richardson going to have?
Arthur, what do you think about Richardson?
Yeah, you know, I actually recommend him in our Pro Football Now TV show, and I got it from John Sally, who wrote about him as a decent DFS play this week. That was before, though, Tyler Lockett was cleared to play, so I think there's going to be a role for both of them. And I understand the thinking because everyone saw how the Packers' corners were by the end of last season, and it's one of those things, you'll believe it when you see it. The talent is there, but we need to see them be better before you believe it. So, yeah, I'm on board with both of those guys, Lockett and Richardson, as low DFS plays. And I'm not real keen on the idea of anyone in the Seahawks backfield. And that sound that you heard at the top after John wanted to say no Eddie Lacy, that was the revenge game enthusiasts dying because they were hopeful that Lacy was going to come back and feast on his former team. But I don't see that happening. If you are going to roll with any Seahawks backs, I'd have to think it's Thomas Rawls and CJ Procise. What about you, John?
Yeah, and really, I'm trying to avoid that whole backfield. It's too crowded.
Right.
And I think Seattle's just going to go through the air on this one. That's how they're going to find success.
You know, I out of the three running backs, do you guys think any of them are going to separate this season? I drafted CJ Procise late, just kind of stashed him away. The guy hasn't been able to stay healthy, but I feel like he's got the most talent out of the three.
Yeah, I actually, to be honest, I might look behind door number four. Chris Carson, the seventh-round rookie, looked like their best back in the preseason. He was getting some first-team run in the third preseason game when those other guys were banged up. There's concerns with all four of them, but I could see potentially a Chris Carson kind of taking a page out of the Thomas Rawls 2015 book, potentially. But again, it's just so crowded, and it seems it's going to take time to sort out. What do you think, John?
Yeah, it's an avoid for me right now. There's too many questions and too many other better backs out there. Let's move on to the next game. Carolina, San Francisco, 47.5 is the over under. Carolina favored by 5.5 on the road. Arthur, I'm interested to get your take on this one. What do you think Christian McCaffrey can do? And what do you think this 49ers offense looks like now under Kyle Shanahan, Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin, Carlos Hyde? They're all viable options to me. And so is Brian Hoyer if you're really desperate for a quarterback this week.
Yeah. Yep. That was another one of my bold predictions from last week. I think both the Browns and the 49ers are going to exceed fantasy expectations this year. And you listed all the guys. Carlos Hyde, they tried to replace him all offseason, and he just wouldn't let it happen. He enters a contract year in the lead back role under Kyle Shanahan, and that can be quite a fruitful kind of situation. That 49ers offensive line actually a little underrated. If the defense can just be competitive, maybe they'll have some better game scripts, and Carlos Hyde can build on his breakout from last season. I love Pierre Garçon. I mean, I think he's got a chance to be a WR1 in PPR leagues just because he is going to be a Brian Hoyer target magnet. Didn't think Hoyer could throw the deep ball like he did in the preseason and like he reportedly did in practice every day to Marquise Goodwin. So I guess there's even some excitement there. And then I'll throw it to Kyle for Carolina. But I'll just say what a fun spot for Christian McCaffrey to kind of go back home and debut in front of the home crowd and against the 49ers defense that you assume is going to be better. But it was historically bad defending the run last year.
Yeah, really quickly before I get into that, I got a question. Am I crazy or was Carlos Hyde one of the names that was mentioned back, let's say, March or so that was mentioned a lot to be cut?
No, you're not crazy. Absolutely. That's why I said they tried to replace him. Remember, they drafted Joe Williams in round three. That was the guy that Kyle Shanahan stood on the table for and demanded John Lynch draft. They traded for Capri Bibbs from Denver. They have this Matthew Breida, the undrafted guy that they like, and they signed him Hightower. So they did everything they could to replace him. But Hyde, he was one of those off-season best shape of his life dudes. And he's kind of, even though everyone said he couldn't fit in this outside zone scheme, he still is in the lead role. And again, that can be a good thing. So no, you're not wrong about that at all.
Yeah, and going back over to Carolina here, Christian McCaffrey, I love his potential in season-long leagues. God, I can't talk today. But I'm a little concerned here week one because you got a guy that's learning a new playbook, not just learning a new team playbook, but also a specific set of plays that they've assigned to him. I'm worried a little bit about the way this game's going to go also. If this gets out of control quickly, I think you're going to see plenty of Jonathan Stewart early in the season. There's no reason to really throw Christian McCaffrey into the fire in a blowout game early on.
Outside of that, on Carolina, you know, we're talking about Martavius Bryant putting up number one receiver numbers. I think it's Kelvin Benjamin that's also going to be in that conversation. Now that he's 2 years removed from the ACL tear, didn't have to worry about his weight this year. I think he's in for a big year. What do you guys think?
I'm all over Benjamin this year.
Yep.
I think he's in a great spot. I think if it's true that Cam Newton is going to be throwing the ball more, that is only good news for Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, that makes three of us guys. Benjamin, he got kind of dogged for his season last year when, of course, he was coming back from the ACL, but the numbers were pretty comparable to his rookie output, and just he was a man on a tear in the preseason. You're not worried about the weight anymore, but remember that was an issue in the spring when he looked just huge. He's gotten that under control, and yeah, I think he's going to be a monster. He's outside of Greg Olsen. I think he's kind of the one thing you can count on in this diversified Carolina attack.
All right, let's move on to the Sunday night game. Giants at Dallas, 47.5 is the over-under. Dallas favored by 4. They will have Ezekiel Elliott for this game and obviously not for at least a few games after that, at least most likely not for a few games after that because of the suspension. And Odell Beckham Jr. is questionable, has really just been on the side doing kind of light drills and some running, so I'm not entirely sure that Beckham is even going to make it to the field on Sunday night. And if he is, he's obviously not healthy. If he's playing, you're starting him. But Arthur, if Beckham, regardless of whether he's out there or not, you know, is Brandon Marshall maybe the de facto number one guy in the Giants passing attack, at least this Sunday night?
Oh, yeah, I think so. A really great opportunity for a fast start for Brandon Marshall, who is historically been a fast starter. So look, my eyebrows were raised not once but twice with the Giants offseason, both with the Brandon Marshall signing and then the first round pick on Evan Ingram. And how long did it take for them to potentially lean on that depth? Well, it's, you know, week one, and they're going to need those guys. So yeah, I feel real good about Brandon Marshall this week. I feel pretty good about Sterling Shepard. You know, rookie tight ends do scare me, but I'm starting to warm to Evan Ingram too, and just the way that defenses are going to have so much conflict trying to defend this passing game. Kyle, what say you?
Well, I saw a report today that Evan Ingram said that he expects to play 60% of the snaps, and if he's going to be on the field that much, we've seen that the fact that Eli likes to throw the ball to his tight end, I think that's a guy, if he's still on your waiver wire, that you should pick up and stash, see where that's going to lead. I actually really like Sterling Shepard. He's a guy that was consistently getting 6 targets or more last year, and he didn't do a lot with him, honestly, but he's got so much talent. I think it's going to come together if they keep feeding him the ball.
Arthur, what about the Dallas side? Where, you know, Dez Bryant has really struggled against Janoris Jenkins. Dak Prescott is probably due for some regression. Zeke Elliott's only be out there for one game. Jason Witten is smashed against the Giants. Where are you on some of the Dallas studs here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anyone that you didn't already mention. You know, Dez, I'm all in on Dez. I really think that the benefit of a full offseason with Dak means Dez has a chance to return to one of the truly dominant fantasy wideouts in the game. And again, he's just one of those guys where if you spend a premium pick on him, you're not going to be scared off by Janoris Jenkins as good as he is. I think you mentioned the Giants have had some issues covering tight ends in the past. Jason Witten's going to get a ton of chances. So I think kind of just the usual, you know, the big three, if you will. I'm not throwing Dak Prescott out there, I don't think, though, given the way the Giants played against the Cowboys last year.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are better options than Dak out there.
Although I do think that Dak has a pretty tough start, but I do think that there's an opportunity or there's a good chance that he's going to end up being a very nice startable option by season's end. I just don't think it's going to be very pretty early on.
All right, let's move on to the Monday night games. There are two of them this week. We've got New Orleans at Minnesota. 48 is the over-under. Minnesota favored by 3 at home. And guys, I'm curious, I want to get your take on both of this. Adrian Peterson coming home to Minnesota. Is there still tread left on the tires? What do we think for week one against that tough Minnesota rush defense? Kyle, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I really don't want anything to do with Adrian Peterson early on. I think that there's just too many mouth to feed in that backfield. Minnesota defense really wore down last year, but I think it's going to be better than it was at the end of last year. It was really good at the start of the year a year ago. if I'm doing anything, I expect Minnesota to kind of control that game and actually get it out to a lead. I'd much more prefer to focus on the receivers for New Orleans. How about you, Arthur?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. You kind of just have to wait and see what Sean Payton has in mind. I know he has a plan for these running backs, but, man, he's going to have to spread the love around. Don't forget Mark Ingram coming off a career year before they go out and add a Hall of Famer and trade a future second-rounder for Alvin Kamara. So definitely love Michael Thomas, like you said. Kobe Fleener, if it's ever going to happen for Kobe, it's going to be now with Willie Snead suspended. Feel pretty good about him. And then the Vikings, certainly Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen have a big-time opportunity to start fast. And what a moment it's going to be for Dalvin Cook as his future Hall of Fame predecessor is on the other sideline and he looks for a debut even anywhere near as dynamic as Adrian Peterson 10 years ago.
There's not many matchups better than the Saints run defense, too, for a rookie running back.
Right, right. Defense in general, man. Those wide receivers too. I'm pretty excited about both Diggs and Thielen this year. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, and look, if we like Diggs and we like Thielen, and Kyle Rudolph, I'll throw him in there. You kind of have to like Sam Bradford this week, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know about it. In season long leagues, I don't think anyone has him, but or you're probably looking at him as a starter. But yeah, and I think Bradford didn't get enough credit for what he did last year, and if he just has time to try and push the ball downfield a little bit more, I really think he will. It just remains to be seen if he's going to have the opportunities or the time, I should say.
Bradford was a top 10 quarterback after the Vikings fired Norv Turner. I'm just going to throw that out there. Wow. Bradford was actually, if that's your marking point, from that point forward, Bradford was a top 10 quarterback with Diggs and Thielen. So I actually like basically all parts of the Minnesota offense this week. So let's close it out, at least in the game-by-game portion for today. Chargers at Denver, the final Monday night game. 43 is the over-under. Denver favored by 3 at home. I think Melvin Gordon is probably due for a big week because Denver, it's kind of a reverse funnel defense. They're great against the pass. They're not so great against the run. And I don't think that game's going to get out of hand because Denver's offense, I don't think is equipped to really run away from anybody this year. Anybody want to disagree with that one?
Kyle?
I don't really know what to make of this game. I think, obviously, if you got Melvin Gordon, you're playing him. If you got Demaryius Thomas, you're playing him. Emmanuel Sanders probably in your lineup. I think one guy that I'll be plugging in and taking a chance on just because I like his upside is Tyrell Williams. I think he finished in the top 15 of receivers last year, not getting a lot of love. What do you guys think?
Arthur, what do you think?
Yeah, he's a stud, man. When the offseason started, or I should say, when the spring began right after the draft, you had Mike Williams with a higher ADP than Tyrell. Obviously, Mike Williams' back has changed that, but I agree. Tyrell's still not getting the love he deserves. My concern, though, is there are a lot of mouths to feed in that Chargers offense. It is super deep, and everyone is going to get a chance, I think, from Phillip Rivers. So you got Keenan Allen coming back. That's certainly going to eat into Tyrell's target share and Anthony Lynn, just the whole Anthony Lynn effect with Melvin Gordon. I think Melvin Gordon might be the RB1 overall this season. He's really going to have that much opportunity. But as much as I love guys like Tyrell and Hunter, I just wonder if they're going to, Hunter Henry, that is, I wonder if they're going to sort of offset each other. John, can you think of other instances where that's been the case? Or do you think that may be the case here?
I think it's the case here. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's end the show as we will each week with a bold prediction, a bold call for week one. I hope you guys did your homework on this. Arthur, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have a bold call for week one in fantasy football?
No, of course not. But if you give me just 10 seconds here, I'm going to come up with one as we're talking. So I'm going to go back to that Tennessee matchup, and I kind of hit on it already. But as much excitement as there is with Corey Davis, the fifth overall pick, with Eric Decker being available in June, I'm going to say Rishard Matthews not only leads that Titans receiving core in receiving, obviously, and in fantasy production here in week one, but I'll say he's going to finish just outside of the WR1 range with a couple touchdowns and a big game for himself.
Wow, all right, that's bold. Kyle, do you have a bold call for this week?
Yeah, I kind of alluded to it earlier, and I'm going to go with Sammy Watkins. I think he's a guy that is able to haul in five or six receptions, get near 100 yards, and be able to pull in a touchdown or two. I think he's going to be a focal point of that offense.
All right, I like it. That's bold. I also alluded to mine just a little bit ago. I think Sam Bradford enters the QB1 conversation this week. I think he is a top 10 quarterback against this New Orleans defense.
I love them all. We are on fire, fellas.
We'll see how right and how wrong we were. Guys, that'll do it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. For Arthur Arkish and Kyle Neighbors, my name is John Solly. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.